This is a podcast very specific to the A Song of Ice and Fire book series. And if you have only watched the Game of Thrones TV show, or if you have not read through all five books of the George R.R. Martin book series to this point, you should probably stop listening right now. Hope you enjoy. It's all for show, so
let's start the show. Well, what is going on, everybody? And welcome to the newest Brief Tangent. Perhaps not the newest, depending on when you are listening to this. My name is Christian. I am the curator of the Morning Brief. I also like to get on these things and talk with some of our friends about various things around the world. This one in specific is going to be part one of a series that we're going to call Game of Thrones Isn't Coming Back on Television for About a Year, and who knows when the hell George R.R. Martin is going to get another book out. So let's talk about some conspiracy theories. It's a bit of a heavy name, but we're going with it. Joining me, as always, one of my good friends, KO, Kevin Osmond. How we doing?
Doing great. Enjoying a San Francisco summer day right now.
Ooh, I like that. And joining us from the East Coast, the one and only Richard Lamondon.
Pleasure to be here, boys, and it's definitely not daytime where I am right now.
Oh, would you say you're give or take 3 hours ahead of us?
I would say I'm 3 hours ahead in the 305, baby, MIA.
Oh, the 305. He's MIA. Richard is missing in action. He took some... No, it's fine. He's in Miami. And we're just going to jump into it because I think we've all read the books. And this is the part where we should say that there is a big, giant spoiler alert. So if you have not read through book five, you should turn this off and stop now.
You should go, read the books. Please. And then come back to this. Books.
Yeah, that's probably true. If you have, you know, some spare time to kill and want to read 1,200 pages, you should go do that. Okay, now that that is out of the way, the topic of conversation for today. The end of book five and what happens next to Jon Snow. Richard, what happens next?
You know nothing, Christian Edwards.
Oh, you were ready for that one. I liked it.
Well, if you want to get into my theory, I think that Jon Snow is one of the characters that will never die in this series, which is a very bold statement considering George R. R. Martin's recent track record.
Of killing everybody.
Yes. I think we should start first about the fact that he was stabbed multiple times, but he is also a warg. So the fact is that should he die, which I don't believe he will die either, he will transfer his consciousness into Ghost's body.
So you're positing that he is alive, but even if he were to be dead, he would be in Ghost. He would have warged into Ghost.
If you would like me to expand further, I could say that in the passage which I read today to prepare for our conversation, when he is stabbed, his wounds are smoking. It's described as. So, it's very cold there, so it could be that they are steaming because of the cold. But what I think is that our Red Priestess, Melisandre, you know, she has her firepower. I think maybe she burned the wounds shut so he doesn't bleed to death as it's going down. That's my personal...
You think that unbeknownst to Jon, as he was getting stabbed, Melisandre, like Dr. Dre... came in and did a little bit of red magic.
Yes. And I can proceed my case further because in my recent investigations of the book, the prologue chapter is about a warg who was involved in the attack on the wall. And in that, his eagle is burned to death from the inside. Basically, basically showing that she has the power use her fire across, you know, air boundaries, let's say. So,
wow.
This is my theory, is that while she warned Jon multiple times about the plots on his life, he, instead of, you know, stepping in to save him, now she's closed the wounds, make sure he doesn't bleed out. I don't think he'll be in a good state, but I think he's alive.
He stays alive.
What about you guys? What do you think about that?
Wow, I have a completely alternative Jon Snow theory to throw out there.
Well, that's why we're here.
I think that Jon Snow will die, but this is not the last chapter that you, that's not the last chapter you'll read of Jon Snow, because he will come back as a White Walker.
Oh.
So we got, I don't know if I've ever heard that one.
Oh yeah.
Kind of like Catelyn Stark, like a zombie Catelyn Stark.
It will not, but it would not be through, like, it would, he would be like a legit, not through the Lord of Light or anything. It would be totally separate from Melisandre, but he would have
like the Great Other.
He would become like, you know how in the show they show something that's not in the books, which you assume will show up in the books, and that there's a king of the White Walkers. There's like some kind of person out there, and so Jon Snow could be like a great some kind of number two. There's clearly something about the Stark children that they're at least like special in some way, and so I think Jon Snow as a White Walker,
interesting,
to lead, to march south and take over the whole place. I have big hopes for a big White Walker dragon showdown in the last book.
So
I like that.
So you're thinking that Jon Snow is the Darth Vader of Game of Thrones, turns to the dark side, huh?
Yes, that's a great one, because he's not going
to
be...
Whoa.
He's not the number
one. Before we get to calling the White Walkers the dark side, let's think about what we know about the characters in these books. Every single person that is quote-unquote going to fight the Walkers is like a terrible person that has done all kinds of terrible shit. Maybe the White Walkers are the good guys.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they're punishing us for our sins, you know, that kind
exactly.
of
thing. Exactly. I mean, the name of the series is A Song of Ice, and Fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. Maybe the ice is the good guys, and it's like some Ra's al Ghul shit, where they have to decimate civilization every so often. The White Walkers have to come in, knock them back down, in order to remind them that it isn't all about them.
And so we wouldn't know it, but Jon Snow's switching to the good side in this theory to lead them to victory.
Where I ask, though, is, so, Christian, I'd like to hear your theory first before I think we start the debate. What do you think?
Yeah, so I'm not on the he's going to become a White Walker thing. That actually just came to me. I think that he is going to die, but he is also going to warg into ghost. So I think I agree with the warging into ghost thing. And I think that Melisandre is still going to play an important role in Jon Snow's future. And I think it is going to be some Lord of Light, Azor Ahai shit. And I think that like Jon Snow ends up being the promised one, the one who leads the fight. I just think he's too important, and we've spent too much time for him thus far in to, like, have him just die. Like, I don't think that's an option. I think he's way too important to the series.
Oh, yeah.
I also think that there's, like, some heavier science fiction-y fantasy shit to come involving Bran and Jon Snow and Bran's ability to see through the trees and Jon Snow's wargness.
Right.
I think like those two things are still going to reconnect, and I truly believe that we're going to see a ghost Nymeria encounter, and perhaps a joining of forces. And what ideally I would have happen, if you must know, I would love to see the Stark children, excepting Sansa, who's, you know, sadly, rest in peace, Lady Wolf, and also Robb Stark, who I think is actually gone. But the remaining three children, I would love to see their... Excuse me, four children, because Rickon's still out there. I would love to see their four wolves somehow join up and become this crazy murder force that is kind of ran and adheres to Lady Stoneheart. So it's Catelyn Stark and her four children warged into their wolves.
Oh, no.
Prowling the countryside,
taking
back all that was taken from them.
You know, I was with you with the Azor Ahai theory, and that was where I was leading next. But this whole, like, Direwolf Death Squad, we'll call them. Like, I don't know, man.
that'd make an excellent movie, I feel like.
It would.
Oh, totally.
Direwolf Death Squad.
Like, I don't think that's where it's going, but that's what I would like to see, personally, if I was writing the story.
Okay. Well, first of all, he may not finish the books in time to keep up with the show, so there could be some awesome opportunities for, like, some shows taking place, like, with different character outlooks, you know?
I think he's communicated to the guys in charge of the show what kind of the end games are for all of the major characters in the primary storyline.
Yeah, he has. But going back to the Azor Ahai theory, which I think is more grounded in fact, despite the fact that Direwolf Death Squad would be, you know, like an epic miniseries at least, you know.
For the record, he could be both Azor Ahai and a part of the Direwolf Death Squad.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You could just dream the Direwolf Death Squad sequences while being Azor Ahai.
I agree. And maybe Ned will come back as the Great Other too, you know. Ooh. So
would that be? I mean, that wouldn't be shocking. But Azor Ahai, the chosen.
So basically, his prophecy is that he'll be reborn amidst smoke and salt, wielding the flaming sword Lightbringer. So where I think it fits in with Jon is, yes, I think Jon in some sense will die. Maybe it's metaphorically, maybe it's actually after this death. And I do agree with you that he'll be reborn as R'hllor, as the main champion, despite the fact that Melisandre seems to really want Stannis, which I have no idea why she wants Stannis so bad.
I feel like she's just making sure she covers all her bases in terms of the potential ones, because I feel like she's not even in control and totally knows what's going on. And so she's just trying to make sure that like either one of them that shows signs of it, she's kind of... there to reap the rewards.
For sure. And I think she definitely has the power to keep John's life force alive or something. It mentions how she feels like she has more power at the wall than she's had at any point in her life, because the wall was raised by magic. So there's something, you know, very powerful about the wall. So I think she does have the power to bring John back keep him... Mm-hmm. Keep him in a coma. I think it's either a coma. I think it's a coma. I think you think it's death. You know,
that's what I think. Okay, like on the edge. On the edge.
I think he's on the edge.
Like where?
And I think
like where Khal Drogo was when they were going through the when he was infected.
Exactly.
Like right in that middle level.
But it's also, wouldn't it be possible also that if they kept him there, like they could transfer him to? Is it possible to warg into a different body?
It is possible.
And not necessarily.
I don't think he's that warg level though. Like I think that's
like Bran's up
PhD
there,
level warg. Yeah. Like I think, because isn't Bran the only one that we've for sure known to warg into a human?
No. Also, the warg that I read about today in the intro also did it, but he got rejected out of the woman. So.
So it's not easy.
I think Hodor is pretty simple, you know. So I think it's a lot easier to warg into Hodor than it is for someone who's fully have all their faculties, you know? That's my theory.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So here's my problem with all of us kind of like going the warg route is that I have to believe that George R.R. Martin understands that like there's certain doors that need to be closed, and that while he's going to continue to build story, like the continued universe building at some point has to like slow down a little bit, you know. And just in this conversation we've had, how many like can wars do this, like what exactly can happen? There's so many possibilities that it's so undefined that making it extremely and totally central just opens up a whole nother can of worms that has to be explained.
Well, I would argue that wargs are central, because look at two of the Stark children at least are wargs. You know,
I think he said that all of them had the ability to warg. Right. Like, I think he's like said that outside. I've read that actually earlier today, that he in his talks and in his blogs has stated that like on some level, all of them had like a special connection with their direwolves.
I don't know. I think that they have a really serious one. Yeah, I think there's like kind of some kind of special magic thing there. But that's why I think your argument, Christian, about him having to close doors. I'm telling you, man, White Walker thing, because he's introduced these White Walkers for nothing. He's introduced them so much, built them up so much. Like, we need some kind of first person window into their world. Maybe he'll just leave them as kind of this undefined force. But that's like something that you wouldn't see coming necessarily as directly as a warging thing, which is already like a demonstrated ability of his. There's that, but I'm sure that there's some other kind of some other kind of connection, but I feel like Jon Snow has to be in charge of, I feel like him and Dany are kind of like the intertwined in this series in terms of some kind of showdown or something. And he can't just be some random person. Like, he needs to be in charge of some kind of army if they're going to have a showdown or be some kind of allies or something. I feel like he's got to keep him as in an important role. Now, he can't like be kind of limited to being a part of just like in Ghost Body or something like that.
I think you're onto something, Kevin, in the fact that, well, I think the others do play a huge role in that they're going to be like the apocalypse basically coming over the wall at some point. And you kind of touched on another theory of mine too, that I'm pretty sure I have this feeling that John and Dany are going to somehow like have like a marriage, a political marriage alliance when Jon is Azor Ahai, and with the power of her dragons, which A Song of Ice and Fire, Christian, and maybe Jon's, you know, members of the Night Watch, like in the ice, you know, fire versus ice. I think it's a natural alliance between a dragon lady and the bringer of light. What do you guys think?
Or it's a perfect showdown.
It is
between the two of them as well.
Either or.
Yeah, between. Maybe it's White Walker King Jon Snow against Dany, who killed literally everyone on the way up.
Yeah.
But has dragons.
Dude, dragons and Unsullied versus just White Walkers.
God, that is just like a good army, I feel like. Mm-hmm. You know? Like dragons and Unsullied. Really,
you guys,
really,
you're really covering stuff. Your ground and your air forces there.
Well, it's like right now, you know, in Iraq, ISIS only has the ground force, so U.S. can drop those bombs on them. Mm-hmm. We got the dragons in the USA.
You think we'd rather have dragons or F-18s? What do you think about that?
Oh, you can control your F-18s a little more, but they're not.
You would look so much more badass on a dragon.
Yeah, you're not quite as versatile as a fire-breathing creature of only like impenetrable scales. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I feel like in an F-18, you have like human technology that has gone forward considerably farther than, you know, like the potions and magic that's going on in this time.
Right.
I think that probably wins the day.
You know, I think this is not for this conversation, but Game of Thrones in the 21st century with the magic that exists now would be quite an interesting thought exercise. But I think we should steer away from that, because then a brief tangent turns into a very large tangent. You know what I mean?
We do, in fact. All right, so as the last little thought exercise that is not, let's take Game of Thrones and put it in the 21st century, although that would be fun and perhaps we should do it at a later date, I will ask each of you the following question. Who or what would you want your warg to be should you be a Game of Thrones warg?
Can I first ask one qualifying question? Can the character can be alive like. Or dead? Does it matter which?
Alive or dead.
Okay.
Either or.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start then. I would be Mog the Mighty, the Giant King.
Oh, that was out of left field. That's a good call.
Oh, yeah. And in the show, first of all, did you guys see how hardcore it was when he charged the gate and those Night Watchmen are just literally just pooping their pants about to face them? I mean, this guy faced a gate on his own. You know what I mean?
Imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet he could take a dragon and, like, discus throw it like way across the land, you know what I mean?
So, fuck that dragon.
So I take Mog the Mighty in the red corner.
All right.
Okay. Oof. I like that. That's a good one.
That's a good
KO.
One.
KO.
Yeah. Ooh. Damn, especially like where they all, there's a lot of people who I feel like I would want to be in at parts of the series, but now seeing their results, not necessarily, but I kind of would like to be, I think, somebody who is on the down low right now is Rickon. And I think he is going to come back and play a very key role as like the only like known living like Stark child.
Sure.
Because years have passed in this show since he's gone, I feel like. And so there's a good, I mean, he is young, but you know, once he's like 12 or 13, he'll be old enough to kind of do something about it. And so I'd look forward to I think he's got an interesting story coming up in the next couple books.
I like that a lot.
Me too. I agree. There's no way he keeps somebody alive unless there's a reason, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he kind of like developed off camera too, so to speak, the whole time. And so he could kind of come back in any fashion that that the author wants. You know, he doesn't have, he's not really, you haven't heard anything about him, so he's not really bound by anything to kind of how he wants to reintroduce him.
I'm in on that. That's a good one. Who would I be?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it.
Well, let's see. If I was a creature, I would probably... I like the idea of the dire wolves. I think those are pretty badass, just being like an extremely large wolf that nothing really wants to fuck with. I like that. But person-wise, I would think I would be Salador San, the Prince of the Narrow Sea.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He, of, you know, the infamous pirate nature, and just like hang out and just like kick it in brothels and drink and be merry and be totally removed from all of the, you know, ins and outs of the Westerosi thing, unless I was getting just paid out to take part in it. I think that would be a good thing. I would like that.
Mm-hmm. In a world that pretty much everyone's lives are terrible, I think that's probably the best way to go. Like, you know, typically you read a story, you're like, oh, it'd be cool to live in that world. Like, I wouldn't last 2 weeks in that land.
No way, dude. I would be getting drunk at a pub, and then the hound would walk in and slit my fucking throat. It would be over before it even began.
And then if not that, there's some Lannister men tickling you with a sword. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, good lord.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to be an inhabitant of Flea Bottom. It sounds terrible.
No, awful. Awful.
No, you need to be rich if you're going to be born.
Okay, here's another question, though. If you had to be born to any house on Westeros, what would it be? Real quick.
I would probably...
Like right now or historically?
I don't know. Like if you were born into any of the major houses of Westeros, what would your last name be?
Yeah, at the end of book five or at like...
Oh, at that time, like if you're born right then.
I don't care. Either way.
I'd be a fucking Stark, bro.
Fucking Stark.
There's one answer.
Screw that, man.
King of the North.
I would be Dornish, man. They sound like they have the most fun and...
Dorne has a good
spicy
setup
food, you know what I mean? You never hear about
That is true.
I'd want to be like I'd probably want to be realistically like the Lannisters or something, because they just owned shit regardless of like the current generation kind of fucked it all up. But they had a pretty good run prior to the current kids. Yeah, so they wouldn't be too shabby.
Yeah, they're like the Vanderbilts of Westeros.
Yeah. I guess
in this whole series, so is like kind of partially about like the downfall of like the Lannisters and the Starks and this whole thing. And that's what
Lannisters
it's been about so far.
Lannisters are going to be wiped out. You know, maybe not Jaime.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Cersei, I can't wait for her to go down.
It's not looking good. All right, I take that back. I actually thought about being in a place where it snowed all the time. It just seemed miserable.
Yeah, the weather was a big consideration for me there.
Yeah, they got beaches in Dorne, man. You want to come join me?
No, man. I'm going to go moose hunting north of the wall. Oh, yeah, it seems terrible. I think I might be a Tyrell. Seems like they're well off. Seems like they only get fucked with when they want to be. And I like that idea.
All right. So that means we're mortal enemies, you and I. You know that?
Totally.
Yeah. You're going down, man.
Sorry, bro.
I poisoned my spears. Don't forget.
Dude, KO's a Lannister. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Well, he's got the hair color for it.
Yeah, dude. What are you talking about, dude? And Tyrion Lannister fucking dominated shit until he got killed. You know, he was pretty in control for most of his life.
Unfortunately, he couldn't raise any kind of family that could be considered stable in any kind of culture.
He had some personal shortcomings, I guess.
Honestly, they were stable enough until his grandson chopped off Ned Stark's head.
Well, let's just like it was... wait, because he also had two. His twins were also, you know, making babies
they were still,
together.
That was still a problem before that happened. Yeah,
but that was totally socially acceptable under like that at that time.
Not considering
the fact that she was married to the king.
No, but clearly isn't, because like everybody shuns them because of it. It's like a whole...
Only the Targaryens got away with that. It's kind of like the Ptolemies of Egypt, you know? Same kind of thing.
Okay. If you have dragons, you can fuck your siblings, but if you have hella money, you can't.
People won't say anything then.
You know...
I'm glad that's where the line's
where's
drawn.
Where's the equality in Westeros? Where is it?
I think they're going to have an ACLU just starting now. Right around now is when they start forming that.
The High Sparrow, man. It's that time.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, this has been a brief tangent on Jon Snow and a few other things about Game of Thrones. We'll probably talk about some more. We have a bunch more up on our website at keepingitbrief.org. A big thank you to Richard for spending time with us. Much appreciated,
it's
my friend.
It's been awesome, guys.
And as always, KO, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, anytime.
All right. Take care, fellas.
Adios. Yeah.